it's always a blessing, always an encouragement when we get to fulfill as well the responsibility of the church to go and make disciples, but to baptize them in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What I'd like to do is just take a couple moments and direct our attention to God's Word, to Romans chapter 6. And so if you have a Bible, I'd encourage you to turn there. If you want to look on your phone or your tablet or whatever device you have to be able to see God's Word. If you're using the Pew Bible, I believe it's page 942 in Romans chapter 6. This morning we want to consider what God's Word has to say about being alive in Christ and alive to God in Christ. It's a very, very important identity that the Christian has for all eternity. And the reality is that we aren't always alive to God in Christ. The minute we come into this world, we are sinners. We are lost in sin. And so we're going to talk about what God's Word has to say about how we can be saved from our sin to be alive forever to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And Romans chapter 6 is a wonderful, wonderful place for us to go to see about that truth. Before we come into God's Word, though, why don't we have a word of prayer? We'll pray that God blesses our time together in His Word, our time in His Word, and that His Word will be truly believed as it ought to be believed and understood in our hearts and minds this morning. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You for the opportunity we've had to rejoice and thank You for the work You're doing in Asher and Jason and Jackson's lives. And Father, I pray You continue to mold them as You've promised You will. We pray that we continue to see the fruit of the Spirit in their lives and our lives as Christians here at Open Door. Father, thank You that through faith in Jesus Christ, we can be made alive. We who were dead in trespasses and sins, through faith in Jesus Christ and what He accomplished for us on the cross and rising from the grave, that we can be alive to God. Thank You, Lord, that we no longer have to be enemies of God because of our sin, but we can be forgiven. We can be declared righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, I pray that as we come to Your Word this morning, I pray that these truths of the gospel that we read from Your Word, that they would take root, if they haven't already, in our hearts. I pray that if there's someone here this morning who doesn't know Christ as their Savior, who has maybe heard different things even about baptism or about what it means to be a Christian that aren't accurate to Your Word, I pray that Your Holy Spirit will open their hearts and minds through Your Word this morning to understand their need for salvation and how they can be saved from their sin. Father, thank You for Your gift to salvation. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts this morning would be pleasing to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we started getting some t-shirts for those who are getting baptized here at Open Door. And the t-shirt that the guys were wearing this morning, it just has a church name, but then it says Alive in Christ. And it even has Romans 6, 1 through 11. And so I wanted to go to that passage this morning, not just because it's on their shirt, because it's a great passage for us as we consider what it truly means to be alive in Christ. And so I'm going to read Romans chapter 6, verses 1 down through verse 11. We aren't going to have time to pick apart every passage or every verse. We want to understand the main points we need to walk away with, the main understanding why God gave us this section of Scripture. We actually look back at this chapter quite a while ago in our sermon series in Romans. So hopefully this will be maybe even a review perhaps to some of us. But let's look at God's Word. And as Ben was teaching in Sunday school this morning, we need to remember that every time we read anything out of God's Word, it is the Word of God. It's His Word. It's not Pastor Sam's opinion or our opinion. It's God's Word. And therefore it has great authority, ultimate authority. And we need to heed and listen well to what it says. And then by God's grace, obey. So Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with Him, with Christ, in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. We know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also, speaking to Christians, must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. As we consider this passage, but many, many other passages of Scripture, most of us know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting or eternal life. And the only way we can have that eternal life, life with God in his kingdom and in his heaven forever, is if we put our trust in Jesus Christ, because we all have a problem. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Doesn't matter how old we are, how young we are, how famous we might be in this world, or how just normal we might be, like me, like many of us, we have all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But God still shows us his love. And back in Romans chapter 5, if you want to look at Romans chapter 5, this is on the heels where we are. Paul has been writing much about the gospel in Romans. He's through chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, he's been showing us our great need that we all have, that Paul himself had for Jesus Christ. And chapter 5, verse 8, it says, but God shows his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Ephesians chapter 2, Paul would write to a different group of Christians, reminding them that we are not saved by our own works. We can't save ourselves. He says, for by grace you are saved through, what's the next word? Faith. And it's not just faith in anything, it's faith specifically in Jesus Christ, what he's done for us. Because if we didn't, we could boast in our own salvation that we saved ourselves. Some people think that baptism saves them. No, baptism just gets us wet. And hopefully the water's a little warmer than it was today. I apologize for that. We had a quick baptism there. But baptism for the Christian, believer's baptism, is important. It doesn't save us from our sins, but it's publicly telling the church and telling the public at large, I am a Christian. I put my faith and trust in Christ. He has saved me from my sins, and I want to live for him. This was not something new to the early church. It was something that had been going on for quite a while in the Old Testament. Baptism never saved anyone from their sins, but even in the Old Testament, remember John the Baptist was coming and preaching, and he was saying, repent, turn from your sin, the kingdom of heaven is coming, your Messiah is coming soon. Jesus Christ hadn't yet gone to the cross and died and risen again, but people were getting baptized. What was that about? Well, in the Old Testament, it wasn't saving them from their sin either, but it was publicly showing to everyone, I want to live for God. I want to live for him. I don't want to live for sin. I don't want to live for myself. And many people were confessing their sin, realizing I have wandered far from God in the way I'm living, but I want to accept his Messiah when he comes. I want to be ready to receive his Messiah when he comes. Well, his Messiah has come. Jesus Christ came. And there was a day when John was baptizing, and he pointed at Jesus, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. It wasn't the water that took away the sin. He says, look, here he is. He is God's sacrificial lamb who's going to die and rise again. He didn't say all those words, but he pointed that he's the one who can take away your sin. John didn't want anyone to get confused, thinking that he was somehow a savior for them, or him baptizing them washed away their sins. No, but even back then, it was a public way of saying, we want to live for God. Well, Jesus Christ went to the cross. He died. He rose again. And he called on all those who would believe in him to put their not only put their trust in him, but to be baptized, to publicly go and be immersed in water, and to then say, I have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe in him, and I'm going to live for him as his disciple. And he even gave that command in Matthew chapter 28. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we're excited to be able to participate in that today. Jesus Christ said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except through me. There is no other way. If there was, then Jesus Christ would never have come and died that horrific death in our place on the cross. But he did, because that was the only way. And so as we come to Romans 6, the call for us then as a Christian, now that we've been made alive in Christ through faith in Jesus, now he calls us to live for his glory, to not live for ourselves, but to live for Christ, and to follow his example, to follow his word, to follow his directions, to live out what it truly means to be alive in God, or alive to God in Christ. As we consider how we get to Romans chapter 6, just real briefly, there are some important teachings that Paul has had in chapter 5. We just read verse 8, how that even when we were dead in our sins, even though we were enemies of God because of our sin, he loved us, and he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. Well, after he goes through that in verses 12 through 14, we're not going to read that all this morning, but in verses 12 through 14 of chapter 5, Paul talks about the dreadful reign of death because of Adam's sin, and how death has reigned over all of us. If you look at verse 12 of Matthew chapter 5, I said I wasn't going to read the whole thing, but we'll read some of it. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, that's Adam, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. He goes on to talk about how sin has spread to every human being, and then death, we are under the reign of death. Death goes throughout this world. We're reminded of that every day, sadly. And yet, there's good news. There's a free gift. And the free gift of God's righteousness that he would offer us through his grace is found in Jesus. If you look at let's jump down to verse 18. It says, therefore, as one trespass or one sin led to condemnation for all men, so also one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. But it has to be by the right person doing that act of righteousness. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience, that's Adam, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's, this is Jesus, obedience, the many will be made righteous. Now the law came to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I mention all this to point us to the fact that when Paul uses the word baptism here in a minute, and if he were referring to water baptism, it is not saying at all that water baptism saves. It's all of Christ. Salvation is all of Jesus Christ. And yet, once we put our faith and trust in Christ, then death no longer reigns over our lives as Christians. Now God's grace, his truth reigns in our lives through obedience to Jesus Christ. So as we look at chapter 6 this morning, and we're just these 11 verses, we're going to see that Paul's going to say, you're dead to sin, Christians. You're no longer to be loving sin. Doesn't mean that we will never sin again, but it's just as we used to be dead to God, we had no heart, no desire. We couldn't even please him if we wanted to because we're sinners. In the same way, don't please sin. Don't live that way anymore because you're a new creation. You are now alive in Christ. You're not dead to Christ. You're alive to God in Christ. So live differently. And because as Christians, we are to be dead to sin, that means we're alive to Christ. We are to be dead to sin. We are set free from sin. We're dead to sin. We're alive to God. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, a number of wonderful things take place. You are given a new identity in Christ, no longer in sin. You are given a new status, a new identity as a servant of God rather than a servant of the devil or a slave of sin. We are given a new life. We are alive in him, we who were dead. We are given a new family. We are alive to God as his children. And we're also given this church family. All Christians who put their faith and trust in Christ, we join in his church. We're given a new calling to live for God's glory, to no longer live for sin, but to live to God. And we're given a new focus. How do we do that? How can we live for the glory of God? We focus our eyes on Jesus Christ. We look to his word. We are following him as his disciples. We are telling others how they can put their faith and trust in Christ. And we are active in evangelism and discipleship. And we are going throughout the world, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to look very briefly this morning at three truths about Christians and what it means to be saved. Three truths about biblical salvation in Jesus Christ. First, we read Romans 6, 1 through 4. But the Bible tells us very clearly here that if you're a Christian, you are dead to sin's power, not by your own strength, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ, he has conquered over sin and death. When you put your faith and trust in him, his eternal life is given to you. And you receive this free gift of eternal life. And we are dead to sin's power. It's not through water baptism, it's through faith in Jesus Christ. We rejoice in that. Do you remember the story of the thief on the cross with Jesus? As Jesus was being crucified on the cross, there were a couple other men who were crucified with him, and one of the thieves was mocking Jesus and was making fun of him and cursing him, and the other thief on the cross, both these men deserved their punishment. This other individual on the cross, he said to the other, how dare you mock him? We deserve to be here, but this man has done nothing amiss or wrong. And then this gentleman on the cross looked at Jesus and said, Father, or Lord, which means Master, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? He believed that Jesus was the Messiah. He believed he was the Son of God. And he believed that Jesus was dying on the cross for his sin. Jesus didn't deserve to be there. That man did. But he was dying in his place. And he believed that he was going to rise again. I want you to remember. Would you remember me? Would you please, if we could put it in words today, would you save me? And Jesus says, today, you'll be with me in paradise. That thief did not have time to run out to the Jordan River and get baptized. He was going to be dead in a couple hours. He was not leaving that cross alive. Physically. He didn't have time to go and say a bunch of prayers in the temple. He didn't have time to go and do all these different things, but you know what? That's okay, because that couldn't save him from his sin. The only way he could be saved from his sin was to put his faith and trust in Christ. And it's the same faith that continues to this day, that we must put our faith and trust alone in Jesus Christ for salvation. When we put our faith and trust in Christ, we are dead to sin. In verse 1 of chapter 6, there's this question, what shall we say then? Should we continue in sin? God has shown us so much grace, and he saved us from our sin, and we have eternal life in him if we're a Christian. So does that mean I can just go living however I want because I'm saved? Paul's like, no. It means now that you're saved, you can live differently. You don't live the old way of life. You don't live for sin and corruption and malice and all this unrighteousness. Now you get to worship God like you couldn't before, and you get to live for his glory. You are dead to sin's power. Every Christian does not have to sin. Do you realize that? Before we came to Christ, we were under the power of Satan. We couldn't help it. All we knew was wired to do was sin. But now we've been made alive. We've been transformed, and Christ is transforming us more and more into his glorious image. Christians are dead to sin's power. We are no longer under the power of sin. Thank God we're under the power of Christ. We also see that Christians are united with Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection. If you look at verse 5, he says, for if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Earlier in verse 3 and 4, he uses the word baptism. And here when he says, and look at verse 3, he says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Does that sound kind of strange to you? Because we just were baptized in what back here? Water. What does it mean I'm baptized in Christ? What's going on here? Well, the word baptizo means literally the Greek word there. It means to submerge under something, to fully envelop in. And actually, Paul here is probably not talking about water baptism in verse 3. He's saying, you've been fully submerged in Jesus Christ. When you put your faith and trust in him, everything that he promises to give you, he gives you. You are in Christ. Remember Jesus said, I in you? Okay, if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. And he talks about how he will come and he will live within his people in this picture of being fully, there's not one part of Jesus Christ's salvation that is not given to a Christian. That's wonderful. And so what Paul is saying here, you have been fully submerged into Christ. When you did that, you fully also came into his death to sin. Just as he died and paid the penalty for sin, you are dead to sin. It's a penalty you couldn't pay, but his death to sin. And also, look at verse 4. We were buried with him by baptism into death. You were fully submerged in his death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Now, water baptism is a picture of what just took place in our lives. When a sister or brother in Christ is buried, we could say, or put underneath the water, they are showing how it is a picture of how they died with Christ. They died to their old way of life through faith in Christ. And as they come up out of the water, which is very quickly, up out of the water, it is another picture of how I have been raised to walk in newness of life through faith in Christ. Not through baptism, but through what Christ did for me and my faith that he has worked in my heart to believe in him. So baptism by immersion is actually important. We actually see this. There's a reason they were baptizing in the Jordan River. They could have definitely gotten plenty of water and poured over people. But even back in the Old Testament, baptism by immersion was a picture, and it would be a picture to be used later on to show the gospel message. There was a time when an Ethiopian eunuch was traveling out in the wilderness. He had just come back from a long trip to Jerusalem for a feast, and he was coming on his way back to go all the way back to Ethiopia. And Philip the evangelist was called by the Holy Spirit to go and meet this man in the middle of the wilderness. And Philip meets him, and this man was reading from the Old Testament book of Isaiah in Hebrew, and he was trying to understand because Philip walks up to him and says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he says, "Well, how can I, except someone could help me?" And Philip comes up in the chariot with him, and yes, who's Isaiah writing about here? Is he writing about himself, or is he writing about someone else? And he quotes from Isaiah 53, where it says, "He was led like a lamb to the slaughter." Who is this, a person? And Philip, I left out, says in the text, Philip explained to him Jesus. And he shared the gospel and told how Jesus came as the Lamb of God. All these Old Testament sacrifices of lambs and bulls and different offerings, they were all pointing forward to the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who would come as the Lamb of God, the Son of God, who would die in our place, rise again from the grave, so that we could put our trust in him. And this man, he believes, and he puts his trust in Jesus, and he believes in the true Messiah, Jesus Christ. And then he says, "Well, look," and as they're driving along, there's a body of water. And he says, "Well, what hinders me from being baptized?" And, you know, Philip will make sure that he understands truly what baptism is and what salvation is. And if you really believe in your heart God is raised from the dead, you can be saved. And so he's like, "Okay." And so it says they both got out of the chariot, go down into the water, come up out of the water. There's a reason for that, because the Spirit of God's wanting us to see that it does matter, the mode as well. There's a picture here that this man is dying to his old way of life and being raised to walk to new life, not through baptism, but through the baptism that already took place, baptized into Christ. So we want to be biblical at Open Door Bible Church. We want to be Open Door Bible Church. So that's why we follow the Lord and believers' baptism. And that's why that's a requirement here at Open Door for membership, because we need to be following God's word the biblical way. And so as we are united with Christ's death and resurrection, just as he has risen from the grave, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." How? It's because the life that Christ has, he gives to us. And when we put our faith and trust in him. But as we prepare to close, I would just say Romans 6, verse 8 through 11. I'm going to focus on these last three verses. I'm going to read it again. Paul says in verse 8, "Now if we died with Christ," and this doesn't necessarily mean physically died, but we've died to our old way of living. We've died to sin. Verse 8, "We believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. So you also must consider or reckon, think correctly about yourselves as dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." One of the fundamental things about the Christian life is that Christian living begins by thinking correctly about Jesus Christ. Even this morning in Sunday school, who is Jesus? Who is the Son of God? Oh, he's the creator of all things, and his word is the word of God because he is God. And here, we need to realize that Jesus Christ, when he died for sin, he's never going to die again. It was a perfect sacrifice once for all. So that goes against many religions that teach that each Sunday when you come, whether they call it Mass or Communion or whatever they call it, Eucharist, whatever it might be, or whatever other thing they put, they say you got to get saved every Sunday because we're going to sacrifice Christ again. And if you don't get these last rites before you die, you are in big trouble. Well, that's not true. The scriptures tell us that if you put your trust in Christ, you're saved immediately through faith in him. He's alive. He does not die again. Thank God for that. And because he will never die, we will live forever with him, never to die. Now, we might die in this physical life, but we go to be with the Lord in his heaven and his kingdom forever. But also, as we consider this, we're not just dead to sin, we're alive to God in Christ Jesus. And Paul will go through the rest of chapter 6. We don't have time for that. If you'd like to read through chapter 6 and chapter 7, that would be wonderful. And even all the way through Romans, he's now going to say, so here's what it looks like to live as a Christian. You no longer live for yourself, you live for Christ. You no longer live for sin, you live for righteousness. And it's not always perfect. We are going to struggle. There's going to be a war in us. This is why at Open Door Bible Church, we must be growing in discipleship, not just seeing people saved from sin, but helping all of us grow in our walk with Christ, learn how to, by God's grace, say no to sin and yes to righteousness. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 tells us why God gives us grace, so that we, by his grace, can learn to say no to sin, to say yes to righteousness, and to look forward to the return of Jesus Christ, who's coming back any day, at any moment. And to live out the good works that God has called us to live for his glory. Christian living begins with thinking correctly about Jesus. This word consider, you must also consider verse 11 yourselves dead. You need to really think correctly about this. Well, I know tax season's right around the corner, isn't it? Woo! And it's that time of year again. And there's sometimes when you're doing your taxes, maybe you have someone do them for you. But if you're doing them yourself, man, you have to have your thinking cap on. You've got to consider all the options, and are you doing the right one? And sometimes maybe you pay for a little extra security just in case you made a mistake. Hey, if I made a mistake, maybe whatever, can you help? We want to consider correctly when we do our taxes. We understand that. Because why? Well, if you don't, there's a penalty. The penalty might not be that bad. It might be, oh, sorry, you owe so much more money. Or if we were doing something really wrong intentionally, yeah, you could be in prison. We, as Americans, focus great attention to our taxes. We have companies that specialize in that, and that's very helpful. But you know, in America, we do not, as a nation, consider what's going to happen after we die. We think about it. We think what we want to have it to say, but we don't go to God's word to consider what God has to say. Here for Christians, the Apostle Paul says, listen, you need to accurately consider and be aware of all these truths about Christ, that he is dead to sin, and so also you must live dead to sin. But also, it's not just dead to sin, you are alive. And what does that mean? That means you get to live for the glory of God. Now you can do all things to the glory of God. Now you can rejoice and enjoy the glory of God as he's called you to. We can tell others what he has done for us and is doing for us. Jesus Christ, as we think correctly of who he is the head of his church. He gives clear commands for Christians to obey. He calls Christians to be baptized, to publicly demonstrate their desire to live for him and follow him. What a joy to see these guys doing that this morning. And he also calls Christians to be growing and serving in his church. I would just encourage you, as we think of a couple folks in a couple moments who will be presented before the church as possible members here, turn to Acts chapter 2, if you would. Acts chapter 2. This is right when the early church began, soon after Jesus Christ had risen from the grave and he had ascended to heaven as well. After he had appeared to many, many people for quite a while, he ascended to heaven. We see that in Acts chapter 1. And he tells these disciples of his to go and wait for the Holy Spirit to come and indwell them. And now, thank God, on this side of Acts 2, when someone puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit indwells us right away. But it's all through Christ. As we think of what was happening this amazing day, about 3,000 people put their faith and trust in Christ after Peter is able to preach a message of the gospel. And if you look at chapter 2, verse 41, he says, so those who received his word, who received the gospel message that Peter was preaching, were baptized. Notice, they received the word first. They believed it, and then they were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. What's going on here? We see people putting their faith and trust in Christ, being baptized, and then added to the church as members of the church. We see that happening in a one fluid motion. Sometimes in our day and age today, people put their faith and trust in Christ, and then they go years and years and years without getting baptized. It's not meant to be that way. It's meant we need to understand what it means. So if someone gets baptized and understand, well, no, we don't want to do that. And sometimes it just takes reading through Scripture or understanding what the Bible means. But once a believer truly understands what baptism is about, now they've never been biblically baptized, and that's for every Christian. But also, it says they were added to the church. About 3,000 people. Now, we couldn't fit 500 people in here. Can you imagine 3,000 people coming to Christ? It must have been an amazing, mind-boggling day for the 120 Christians who were there. But what had happened? These people were dead to sin and alive to God, how? In Christ Jesus. And when you are in Christ, he calls us to obey him. And sometimes it's called the first step of obedience for a Christian, but I would say one of the first steps of obedience is being baptized. There's two commands, two ordinances that Christ has given his church: baptism for believers, and also communion at the Lord's table, which is for believers. And we see these individuals here later on in verse 42. Notice it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. Now, this could be communion. It also could be just fellowshipping in one another's house. They weren't forsaking being together. They had new brothers. They had a new identity. We are saved in Christ, and we want to know our Christian family in Christ. And people were continually getting saved and baptized and added to the church. I would just say church membership is just saying, I want to be part of what God is doing in this local church, and I believe in Jesus Christ. I have been biblically baptized. I believe the truths of the Bible that are taught at this church, and I want to join and be part of it. Use my talents, abilities, skills for the glory of God. The reason why we have membership many times and that requirement for people to participate in certain aspects of worship and other things is because we need to know that you have truly committed to following Christ according to his word, that you've been biblically baptized according to his word, and that you have a desire to live for him. And so we have to be very careful that we don't possibly have someone participating in certain things that are not truly saved or have not at least committed to that. So some questions this morning for us. Are you alive in Christ? Are you alive to God in Christ? If you're not this morning, it doesn't have to stay that way. You can put your faith and trust in Christ today, believing what he did for you on the cross, how he rose from the grave. Have you been biblically baptized? If you haven't, I urge you to follow God's word and be faithful in biblically following him in believer's baptism. For sometimes it can be a challenging thing. I know for my dad, it was extremely challenging. He was raised in a Lutheran church, and there they baptized Lutheran babies. And they weren't even saying, well, we don't think this saves you, but we think it's going to kind of just hold a place for you at some point so you could really get a little closer to being saved. But as he studied God's word, he had put his faith and trust in Christ as a young boy. He's about 10 years old. But now he began reading the word for himself at a Lutheran seminary, actually. But he was reading the word for the first time, and he kept asking, why do we baptize babies? I'm just wondering, why do we baptize? There was not a good answer, but there isn't an answer for it in Scripture. And he saw that, you know, baptism is a thing for believers. And so he ended up finding a church that preached the word of God. He was baptized, and it was a difficult thing for my grandma, who was Lutheran. She was upset with him for many years. But you know what? He had to do what was right. My grandma didn't understand. She didn't understand that you have to be baptized as a Christian. I believe my grandpa put his faith in Christ. I pray that my grandma did. But sometimes being baptized for real, the first time is challenging. I'd encourage you, if you have questions about that, or maybe think, well, but I was baptized as a baby. How is that different? I would love to show you more from God's word, but we want to follow God's word. Are you biblically baptized? And have you joined an active membership with a biblical church? It's important. Are we living by faith in Christ, serving by faith in Christ, growing in a biblical way with Christ faithfully? Could I just encourage us with application this morning? If you are a Christian, then you are alive in Christ. You are alive to God in Christ. So live as those who are alive. That is why we exist, to live for the glory of God. If Christ only saved us to take us to heaven, guess what? We wouldn't be here right now, would we? We'd be gone. But he has a mission for us. That is to advance his glory in the way that we live, to follow his word, to honor his word, to show the authority of God's word in the way that we live, and to tell others that they need to submit to him as their Lord and Savior. If we are a Christian, we've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Christ. And if we're a Christian, we're called to live like a Christian is called to live. We have Christ in us, dwelling in us. We're to be dead to sin and alive to God. I'm going to close in a word of prayer. And then after I close, I'd like to ask both Deb Fleischer and Jason Giff, if they wouldn't mind just coming down here to the front pew. We're going to present them to the church for a vote as members. But let's close in a word of prayer, and then we will go forward. Father, I thank you for your goodness to us as your church, as Christians. Father, I pray that you would get the glory in our lives. I pray that we would surrender our lives and our opinions, our desires, our dreams to the authority of your word. Lord, I pray that as some of the truths that we've shared this morning, that your word has revealed to us clearly this morning, I know that can be hard at times, Lord, for us to understand, especially perhaps if we've been trained a certain way all our life. But Father, I pray that we, your Spirit, work in our hearts to have a desire to follow what your word says, not what I say, not what other pastors may have said in the past or teachers who may have had good intentions, but we're not really following your word. Father, I pray you'd help us to be humble, to humble ourselves before you, to yield to your truth. Thank you, Lord, for Jason and for Jackson and for Asher. I pray that you would encourage them in their walk with Christ. We thank you for them taking this step of obedience to follow you, your way. And Father, I pray that you will help us as a church family to encourage them in their walk with the Lord, and as they also encourage us to pursue Christ. We thank you also for those who have a desire to join the church, for Jason and for Deb. We're excited, Lord, to see how they will use their talents and abilities in a fresh and opportune way here at Open Door. Father, would you do the work in our hearts and lives for your glory that you intend to do through your Spirit? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.